So we're continuing on with our Never Give Up series for tithing. And when I was thinking about this verse, it was on my heart all week, but I thought I already preached it. And then I was like, oh, I look back, I'm like, I didn't preach on this verse yet. And it's the verse in Galatians, if you have your Bibles, it's in Galatians 6:9. It's a very famous passage of Scripture. I'll read it for you, and it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap a reward if we do not lose heart, or if we faint not." There's a bunch of different translations. But the fact is that we can't grow weary. And I think, to me, one of the, if there was a weary job, it would be a farmer. Because you don't see, when you put your seed in the ground, you don't see it sprout up. I mean, there are some harvests that do that, but a lot of them stay dormant for a while, and it's a process. I mean, how many times have you ever gone to a pumpkin patch prior to it being ready to be picked? Do you see orange pumpkins just the moment the green sprouts? No. You don't see them for months. You see the green vine, but you don't see any fruit on that vine, right? Can you imagine for, especially like farmers back in the old day that did everything by hand, you know, or by behind a plow with a horse. I mean, it was hard work, but they didn't give up. It was hard work, but they didn't quit. They had a goal in sight. And what was that goal? They already knew there was a promise. Even those who weren't Christians, they knew there was a promise. If I put a seed in the ground and I tend that seed, a harvest will happen. Amen? And so in their minds, when they're walking behind the plow and it's just dirt, or even nowadays when farmers are in there, there's some incredible farming equipment nowadays. I'm just saying. We passed some when we were on our way to the beach last weekend, and they're the kind that take up the entire road. And there was like four of them, and the wheels are taller than our van. I mean, they're massive vehicles, right? But they are going out there, and most of the time the fields are brown. But do they panic? No, they don't panic. Why do they not panic? Because they know that there are seasons that you have to go through in order to get to harvest time. If there was harvest all year round, then yeah, that might be easy, but would the fruit be that great? Maybe not. I mean, when you think about it, when fruit reaches its peak season and you forgot to pick it, what does it look like on the vine? Ugh. It's gross, right? You go out to an apple tree after apple season is almost over and you go to pick it and it's just mush in your hand. Or berries are really bad. I used to pick raspberries when I was younger. It was part of what we did in the summer to raise money. And I remember, man, at the end of a season, it was gross. You just stick your hand in there and it's like, you're like, okay, I can't even put this in my bucket because it's mush, right? So you had to be really selective of the berries that you picked, right? Because it's overdone. God doesn't overdo things, okay? They aren't overdone in the way of rotting. And so there is a natural process, a natural seasons for farmers. And guess what? We are farmers too. Our seed is the seed that we have that we put in the ground, and that's called our tithe, okay? And sometimes there are harvests that just sprout right up, and glory to God, and hallelujah, and we do our shout and our praising, but we can't panic if we look at the ground and it still looks brown, and it's been a week. Wow, I planted it a week ago. There's no sign of green. Maybe you planted your seed a month ago. Oh my goodness, it's still brown. Oh, I better go dig it up and make sure it's still there. No, no. You just relax and you tell yourself, there is a season. Right now, that seed is germinating in the ground. And even though I can't see what's happening to my seed, I know what a harvest looks like. Amen. And there are some seeds that take almost a whole year to produce. Amen? And that's okay. And supernaturally, when you give your tithes, sometimes it might take 10 years to see the harvest. Oh my word, 10 years? For real? Yes, for real. And we don't grow weary in the seasons when it doesn't look like a flourishing garden. Those seasons are awesome. We love to harvest, but part of the harvest is you have to let your seed stay in the ground and grow. You need to nurture it. You need to water it. You need to tend to it. If you look, I love going to the beach because there's always all these different orchards and farming out there on the way we go to Lincoln City. And have you ever noticed? They're pristine. I mean, these trees and these orchards, there's very little underneath them as far as like weeds and overgrowth. No, it's trimmed. They've gone underneath and they've taken care of it. It's an all-year-long process. We had friends in Washougal. Our kids grew up together, and they are Christmas tree farmers. And most of the time when you think about Christmas trees, you're like, hey, you put them in the ground. You know, Christmas time, you cut them down. We're done, right? I'm like, that's got to be the easiest crop to have. And she's like, no, it's not. And she's like, we literally are tending those trees year-round. You have to make sure that they don't get bugs. You have to make sure that you keep everything trimmed back around. They have to be designed. They don't just grow perfect trees. I mean, that would be fabulous. But she's like, no, we're out there trimming and pruning all year around so that when Christmas comes, you get to walk up and go, oh, my Christmas tree, right? It's a year-around process. So why would it be any different when we plant a seed in faith with our tithes? God is the same, and he often uses the things in the natural to help us to compare to the supernatural. And that's what here in Paul is telling us. Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season, say due season. There's a season. You have seasons. So what am I trying to say today? I'm trying to say never give up. If you've planted your seed, do not give up on your seed. If you don't see the harvest after a week, don't panic. If you don't see a harvest after a month, don't panic. If you don't see a harvest after a year, don't panic. If you don't see a harvest after 10 years, don't panic. There is a due season. And when that season comes, you will reap your reward. But the verse doesn't stop there. If you do not give up, if you do not lose heart. You have to keep on keeping on, regardless of what you see. Now, how do you tend to it? How do you water it? With the word, with praise, with speaking over that seed, calling it in. God has a plan. And in that due season, oh, there's nothing like it. When you drive by the fields and they are ready for harvest, they are full. They are amazing. They're thick. One of my favorites is when we go to Willow Lake. They have mint fields. You ever driven past a mint field, man? There's nothing like that. It's almost like you can taste the mint in your mouth, right? Because the fields are ready for harvest. And they got these big trucks now, and most of them people don't even have to pick anymore because the trucks just go through and they harvest it. It's amazing to me, right? And you see those big trucks full of like corn on the cob right now or watermelon. You see those semis, right? That is due season. They have reaped in due season, right? So when you look in ahead at your harvest, you need to see semis filled with your harvest. Don't expect a pickup truck full. I mean, I guess you can if you want to. Not me, man. I've seen what some of these people can harvest. It's semi-trucks with the big extra long, what do they call those? Fifth-wheelers. Yeah, the big ones, right? And they don't have just one. They got two sometimes. Sometimes three if they drive at night, right? And that's the harvest that's coming in. Guess what? Never give up on that harvest. If you don't give up, you will reap it if you don't lose heart. And I'll tell you what, you're a happy person if your eyes are on the harvest. Not on the dirt, not on what it looks like right now, when your eyes are on the harvest, because you know your God will be faithful. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just thank you that we are not going to grow weary. Father, we are going to continue to praise. We're going to continue to speak over our seed. We're going to continue to have faith, Father, because we know in the due season we are going to reap the reward because we keep on keeping on. And Father, I pray today that you would begin to stretch our thinking, Father. Help us to stop seeing just the pickup truckload of harvest, but to start seeing the semis full of harvest, Father, that's coming our way. For us to be blessed, yes, but also for us to be blessed to be a blessing. God, I just thank you and I praise you. You have planted us in this place for such a time as this to be able to reach the community around us. And God, I just praise you and I thank you for every seed that is sown, Lord. I speak over that seed supernatural blessing in Jesus' name. Lord, your promise is that as we tithe, you rebuke the devourer. It's a win-win, God. Every time we tithe, you are rebuking the devourer off of our seed. So we don't have to grow weary. We know the seed is blessed. It's just a matter of the season that's supposed to come in. And Father, in the in-between time, I thank you, Father, that every person in this room who gives, Father, has more than enough in their accounts. I thank you, Father, for bringing in the surprises, for bringing in the supernatural blessings. We call it from the north, the south, the east, and the west today. And I thank you, Father, for more than enough in every household in this room. I praise you, Father, that we will have more than enough so we can continue to give. And God, I pray for every seed that has ever been sown into Redeemed Church, Father, from the day it started till now. And I say, seeds, you are flourishing in Jesus' name. Seeds, you are growing. You are producing. Seeds, you are not dying on the vine. You will produce a harvest in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you that it's going to be like the disciples. We're going to have to call for other people to come help us because the harvest is so great. We praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness today. We praise you, Lord, for your anointing upon our seeds. And Father, I pray, yes, Lord, for those who have planted seeds in the past, seeds that you looked for a harvest and it hasn't come, the Lord says, keep looking. Keep looking. Keep looking. Keep looking. Your harvest is on its way. We thank you, Father, for that today. We receive that word. We will continue to look, Father, in faith for that harvest. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord, for your faithfulness today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Praise God, praise God. I heard a soundbite from Kamala Harris the other day saying that our 18 to 24 year old young people are stupid. They need to be told what to do. No, those folks need to be told what to do, right? And in November, we're going to tell them what to do, right? Amen. We're going to elect some and we're going to eject some in the name and by the blood of Jesus, right? They're not our enemy, but some of them are his agents. And if they don't repent, then they're going to go with him. I mean, that's just what the Word of God says. I'm not here as a minister to tell you who to vote for or to, you know, act like it's all about men and women, but God uses men and women to get his will done in the planet, and the devil also uses men and women to get his work done, right? And in this land, we are blessed to have the right and the responsibility to vote and to pray and to do what God says to do. Amen. Praise the Lord forevermore in Jesus' name. But we believe in ministering to our young people. And if you'll notice, there's a lot of young people that aren't here and a lot of older people that aren't here, right? And we can, you know, make up reasons why. But the truth is, a lot of people aren't interested. I'm talking about Christian people, right? Now, that's something to really be concerned about and be taking to God in prayer and shining light out there wherever we can, because, man, Jesus is coming back. And listen to the message again last week if you missed it. It's not time to be increasing distance from the Lord. It's time to be getting closer to the Lord. And church is a key way of doing that. Church attendance and participation, just like you do every week. So I salute you. Amen. And the word God gave me recently was to pack it in tight. Pack it in tight. Somebody say, pack it in tight. In other words, he's asking me, and this is not something anyone's telling me to do. Any man is telling, this is something the Spirit of God has been telling me to do. To get closer in to ministers and ministries that he's asking us to partner with and team up with and get in the convoy with and hear what they're saying. And so especially over these next 12 weeks or so, there's going to be some things we're going to be hearing from George and Terry Pearson's in regards to having a strong spirit in the end times. How many know we're in the end times? And one of the great promises in the end times is the wealth. There's a wealth transfer that the Bible says. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Amen? And so today, I want to submit to you. I love this picture Shelley chose. The International Harvester. That's we were driving toward the coast the other day, and there were three of those on the road. And we were going the opposite way, but there was like, I don't know, 5 miles of cars behind them. Why? Harvest time. Somebody say, it's harvest time. Amen. And I love what Jesus said. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. So we're believing God to add people to his church, right? But today I want to present to you this booklet from Kenneth E. Hagin, who's been in heaven for a while. How many have heard of Kenneth E. Hagin? Amen. Most of you have. And there's still great stuff on YouTube. You can hear. He's such a great prophet teacher. And just an amazing ministry that God used with him over the years. And it's still going through his family and Rhema. You see the website there, rhema.org. But I wanted to share with you some things that God showed Brother Hagin in this booklet called How God Taught Me About Prosperity. Amen. And this is one of the key elements in the our salvation package, if you want to call it that, is the blessing of God financially. And really, prosperity has to do with a lot more than just money, right? It has to do with life prosperity. Peace. The word peace includes the word prosperity, but also includes your health, just the general well-being of your life. Amen. I believe it'd be great to be financially wealthier, but if I'm dying somewhere, then that's not, I mean, we need to just embrace all of God's word. Amen. And so we are a church that is called to spread the word that God wants to prosper you. Amen. Somebody say, God wants to prosper me. Right? And really, he is. If we just look at it and just begin to thank him for the manifestations of the ways he's prospered us over the years and carried us through and sustained us over the years, it's right there. And the true wealth, anyway, is in heaven anyway, right? So we're not talking about getting 42 cars and 37 houses and, you know, all these kind of things. Now, God may bless you with, I believe that nicer cars and cars that I don't have to have faith that they'll make it somewhere, that's a blessing of God, right? Amen. I've noticed more and more on these roads specialty cars, right? Somebody driving Ferraris and Lamborghinis and other things that are just, I mean, that's an expensive car that probably holds two people, right? So nice things are really God things, and they're tools. Amen. Nice church buildings. This is one of the nicer meeting spaces available, I believe, in the city. Right? And so we are blessed to be here. Amen. But I wanted to share with you some words from Kenneth E. Hagin as we get into this today. So Father, in Jesus' name, somebody say, give me eyes to hear. Give me eyes to hear. Give me eyes to see and ears that hear what your Spirit would say to us today. In regards to biblical prosperity, Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, there are prerequisites. I remember in college, there were prerequisite classes to bigger classes and so forth. And how many know a prerequisite to getting to heaven? There is a prerequisite, isn't there? You got to be saved, right? A prerequisite to being filled with the Holy Ghost, you got to get saved first. Well, a prerequisite to prosperity is we're givers. We tithe. And we don't have issues. If someone has issues with tithing and giving to ministry work, and all, then this is not, don't even just cut this. If you're listening later and you already have problems with that, you can listen along. Maybe God will convert you some. But that's a prerequisite to prosperity. Amen? How many know wealth that's in someone's hands that practices evil is a very bad thing? And the Bible doesn't say money is a bad thing. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, money in the hands of a righteous person, that's a very good thing. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. But the foundation text for this is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the scripture that the Lord gave to Brother Hagin. And he had some amazing supernatural visitations from Jesus over his life. Amen. I mean, like open eye, Billy Brim calls it open eye visions, where he's right there talking to you, right? It's pretty remarkable. And you can tell if something's legit based on what did he say? Because there, the devil also comes, how many know, as an angel of light. So just because someone has a vision, how many know there are false religions? Islam began with a false vision. Somebody saw somebody that said they were God. Mormonism started with a false vision. Somebody saw somebody that said they were a God representative. And it was actually someone from Satan. Amen? But Brother Hagin is a legitimate prophet of God, teacher, amen, and well-respected and admired by many. There's others that want nothing to do with this kind of stuff. I'm talking about Christian people. How many know there's Christian people right now? There's a organization I heard about recently that's Evangelicals for Harris. Just think about that for a minute. And they actually used a Billy Graham excerpt to promote and support Kamala Harris, right? And may God save Kamala Harris. I don't hate Kamala Harris, but when you support crazy abortion measures, transgender measures, Marxist measures, I'm not voting for you. And so for somebody to say I'm a Christian and I support someone who supports that, that's just straight up not even true. Right? So Christians, we need to be able to decipher what's truth and what's fiction. Even if they say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm supporting these things, you can't. And Franklin Graham came out on social media, Billy Graham's son, and challenged it. He said, hey, listen, my father would never have agreed with those things that you're promoting that he agreed with. Right? Amen. So, hallelujah. Amen. So in regards to biblical prosperity, it's good to hear what the word has to say and an accredited prophet has to say. But I'll tell you what, church, I've been around some groups over the years, good people, wonderful people, but very, very anti-prosperity, anti-gifts of the Spirit in operation, anti-God will heal you. Great people just don't believe anything beyond, well, at least we're going to heaven, which is, I mean, if you had to pick one, that'd be the one, because heaven's eternity. Amen? So why don't more people get into this kind of thing? Well, maybe it's because it's controversial in some manner, whatever. Hallelujah. Well, if God can trust you, I love Peter Daniels, one of the wealthiest men in Australia. He spoke at our church a number of years ago. And believer, business person, and he said, money can't be your God if you just keep giving it away. Right? So you don't have to be afraid of money destroying you if you're a tither. Because why? Because a tenth, you know, is the Lord's. What a beautiful concept, the tithe. What a God concept, the tithe. Because if I'm a billionaire, or if I'm a $10 heir, 10%, A tenth is the Lord's. Somebody say, a tenth is the Lord's. Into God's work. Glory to his name forevermore. So once we get that concept and we're practicing it, and then we can get into some other areas of sowing seed and all these kind of things to believe God for increase in our lives. Amen. And that's what Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson said recently. I was watching her, and she said one of the words for prosperity is just simply to do better. Somebody say, I want to do better in every area of life, and that includes financially. Amen. So here's some notes that I took from Kenneth E. Hagin's book, How God Taught Me About Prosperity. And he says this, and I like it because he deals with ministers first. How many know if the minister doesn't get this, the church probably won't get this either, right? And you can get some things that your minister doesn't get because you got the Holy Ghost. But if a pastor is blocking this, I just want to declare to you, I'm not a pastor who's going to block this. Blocked! Canceled! Oh, no. Not at all. Because I believe God wants to build something here in the Northwest. And it's going to require cash, money, increase. Hallelujah. Because why? Because there's souls at stake, man. Right? Amen? So he says this. When it came to pastors, we Baptists had a little saying. Lord, you keep him humble and we'll keep him poor. Then I got over among Pentecostals. They were twice as good at keeping the pastor poor. We young pastors swallowed whatever our elders said about prosperity. We didn't take time to examine the word on the subject. Somebody say, ah. It's kind of like in our nation. We need to take time to learn what the Constitution has to say instead of just people telling us. Amen. Same concept here. Whatever the principle is, find it in the Word. Amen. Did I ever read you Isaiah 119 yet? Here's what it says if I did. This is the scripture that God gave Brother Hagin. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And there was a time in his ministry where the Lord checked him because he was following God with all his heart as far as he knew, right? But he was having trouble financially, meeting the bills, and they weren't doing well financially, right? And the Lord led him to that verse, if you be willing and obedient. And he told Brother Hagin, he says, you've been obedient, but you haven't been being obedient from a willing heart. You've had issues about kind of doing it reluctantly. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm willing and obedient. Right? Amen? So we give out of a cheerful heart. We give rejoicing over the seed. We give rejoicing over the harvest and the potential that God can use to reach more people with the gospel around the world. In children's ministry years ago, we had a gentleman who was just faithful as all get out. He would show up, put his name tag on, and with the ladies, he was probably a guy like in his 60s, just a sweetheart of a guy. And he would just rock babies. They'd bring him a baby, he'd rock the baby, just faithful as all get out. And years later, I thanked him for his service, and he said, well, my sentence is over. I put my time. I was like, brother, you just canceled whatever blessing God had on you. Because you were rocking God's little babies out of a hard heart. You were obedient. You were faithful. You were on time. You were faithful as the day is long. But you were doing it out of a heart of bitterness and resentment. Somebody say, not me. And we have to watch that as ministers, right? Because our hearts can start growing hard and just, another Sunday and another message, and this is silliness, right? We do this, Shelly and me, because we love doing this. And God did call us to do it, but we also love to do it. Amen? So Brother Hagin continues. He says, we didn't take time to examine the word on the subject. And these are pastors. So whatever their board was telling them, whatever their, you know, leadership, well, then that's what we preach. I had a minister one time that told me, I was talking to him about how he flows. I just like talking to other ministers. And he said, well, when I get my message from the committee, what? Then I go and study it, and it's like, oh my gosh, man. Now praise God, you know, whatever. I'm sure they're not giving him anything from the book of Satan. Right? But we need to study the word for ourselves. Right? And even in these days to come, I'm going to be teaching off of someone else's outline, someone else's notes, but I'm instructed by the Spirit of God to use that. Right? And we need to really be people that are open to hearing from God for ourselves regarding things, being a studier. Amen? He says, we were taught that if you're really humble, then you're poor. And it's a characteristic of holiness to live on barely get along street. You should listen to Brother Hagin. He's great. We had faith for healing for ourselves and our children, but we had no faith for our finances. I went to the Lord about our financial problems. Somebody say, that's a good idea. Go to the Lord, right? I went on a partial fast, and each afternoon I spent several hours in prayer. The Lord said to Brother Hagin, faith is the same in every realm. Faith works identically in every realm. Somebody say every realm, right? Faith for finances work just like faith for healing, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or salvation. So that is a critical concept to get. And I know that a lot of us in this room may already know these things. This is called a biblical prosperity in service. And maybe you don't know, maybe you had forgotten. And what I'm about to go into, some things that Brother Hagin has taught over the years, I didn't know that that's probably originally who God revealed it to, because I've heard a lot of Christians make fun of what I'm about to share with you. Amen? But here's some key scriptures that Brother Hagin brought out. Psalm 89:11. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Haggai 2, verse 8. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So these are just a few scriptural examples that we have a abundance-minded God. But there is, you know, there's a method to it. There's a process. Somebody say, be in the process. Well, these next few points here are specific things that the Lord showed Brother Hagin. Who's ever heard the term, somebody make fun of, name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. And there's been a lot of Christians that have poked fun at that. But this is where it came from. God showed Brother Hagin this. And just like coming back to the fundamentals of prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and you know, these kind of, it's important to come back to some of the fundamentals of prosperity. I was thinking about this the other day. So many of us are just so used to using cards for everything, not necessarily debt, but just a debit card. So we're not really keeping track of what's in the purse. Because it's just, oh, just a card. Scan the card, scan the card, scan the card. And so often it's easy to almost get lazy in what exactly it is we're believing God for. Because it's just sort of out there, you know. But I heard a businessman say this past week, specific is terrific. Know what you're asking for. He was talking about sales. Specific is terrific. And a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I just need to spend some time praying, studying, maybe doing some fasting, and seeking the Lord and just getting in touch with what is it I'm specifically believing for. And it takes effort to do that, right? It takes time, it takes effort to just sort of get in touch with what's in my own heart. What is it that I need? Amen? Because if we don't know, then that's, Brother Hagin would get honest about that. Right? So he said, the first thing you do is claim. Somebody say claim. Claim whatever. Somebody say whatever. Claim whatever you need. Everybody say this out loud. Satan, take your hands off my money. Now, some of this is going to, it won't sound weird to you because you've been doing this, I know. But these are good things to remember. Satan, take your hands off my money. Hallelujah. And that might mean, Satan, take your hands off my plumbing. Take your hands off my furniture. Take your hands off my car. Take your hands off my dog. This past week, I had to spend $250 on Sam. Because he itches and itches and itches and chews himself. And finally, I took him in and got him what he needed. But praise the Lord, the finances were there. Honestly, I haven't used a credit card forever. But part of it, Shelly just said, just put it on, because we pay for it, you know, within the month. It's just a convenience thing. But it makes me a little uneasy. It's like, I don't want to use that Hawaiian Airlines card. And then we talked about Hawaii, the person there, you know. But how many know, sometimes take your hands off my money is take your hands off of something that's costing me money. But if we get so connected to, well, it's just a card, we need to come back. Somebody say, we need to come back to the line in the sand and say, no, devil, take your hands off my money. Whose money? My money. Based on what? Based on I'm a tither. Based on I'm a tither. The word of God says the Lord will rebuke the devourer on your sakes. Amen. So we don't tolerate thefts from the devil, right? Our vehicles, amen, you name it. There you go. That might be a good subtitle for this message. You name it. Right? Name whatever it is. House, come. Automobile, come. What kind of automobile? Amen. And the Lord did show me something. I hate adding to what Brother Hagin is saying, you know, but sometimes the Lord gives you things too. One of the things that he taught me over the years, because see, when I was down at Azusa going to college, he showed me some things in terms of this type of thing. And these are very powerful things to use every day, right? But he did tell me this. We were in Mexico on spring break doing outreach to Mexico down there, right? And they would, and there were hundreds of us from the college down there. And they had a worship time, and the worship leader at one time was singing this song I've never heard before or since, and it was titled Father Knows Best. Father knows, and he was showing me some things about the specific thing I was believing him for, that he was saying, I hear you, but just remember this, I'm dad, and I know what's best for you. So you're going to have to T-R-U-S-T be on this, right? Oh, and I'm so glad I did. Now, that doesn't mean we don't name things. But if you're naming it and naming it and naming it and calling it, and you might be asking God for wisdom, too, to say, Father, is there just something here I need to turn loose over to you and just let it go? Amen? But somebody say, claim whatever you need. Name it. But really leave the super specific things to your Heavenly Father and trust Him with it. Hallelujah. And that's not being double-minded. That's just trusting your Heavenly Father with it. Hallelujah. Psalm 23, verse 1 says this. These are scriptures that Brother Hagin was bringing up. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 34, 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Somebody say amen. So you spend time praying, seeking God, have a list, write some things down. And it takes effort. It takes time. Praying in the Spirit. Get the specific thing with a name on it. And then you begin to claim it. right? Now, I love this next part here. He says, then you say, go. Somebody say, go, ministering spirits, and cause the money to come, the answer to come, right? Turn your, or he calls that turning your order in. Hallelujah. Even if you're not quite sure if that's me or God, I would just say, turn it loose, man. Turn it loose. Turn those angels loose. This is something that we've, as the body of Christ, really missed or have gotten away from. But it's very important. Angels have a specific purpose. I think some people just think angels are just there to worship God. They're like God's hype men. It's like, you're so great, you're so great, you're so great. Like God needed people to tell him how great he was, so he created angels. No. Of course, angels worship God and serve God. But look at what, somebody say, we got to get back to the word on some of these things, right? Hebrews 1, verses 13 and 14. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, am I in the wrong chapter? Hebrews 1, that's Hebrews 2. That's good stuff as well, right? But let's stay with it. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool? It's important to remember that angels are not humans. I think there's still a segment of the body of Christ that just kind of assumes that angels are people who have died. I saw that actually in a devotional I looked at the other day. Well, yeah, they just become angels. No, that's not true. Angels are not people. Angels are angels. They're a spiritual being created by God. People don't become angels. Angels don't become people. Right? Amen. To which of your angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? And then verse 14, are they not all, somebody say all, right? Ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. So see, they're there to minister on your behalf. They're literally, you have angels literally at your command. So we need to give them words they can actually use. And let me tell you this too. If angels are looking for God's words to activate, there's another spiritual being called demons that are listening for the devil's words. So that's why we need to be real watchful over what's coming out of our mouth, our own mouth. Right? Because I want angels working on my behalf. Right? So we tell the angels, go! Cause the money to come. Hallelujah. This is why we need to be in touch with specifically what it is. Is it money? Is it finances? Is it a thing? Is it someone coming back to Jesus? Is it a healing? Somebody just say, angels, go get it. I've claimed it, and now I'm getting my order in. Hallelujah. And then the third step he says is stay in faith. Remember, Shelley's message on don't give up is so key. A lot of Christians falter because they drop the ball. I was listening to Flashpoint again, the great broadcast to be watching, keeping in touch with on Victory Network. And Rick Green was talking about their Patriot Academy that they have down in Texas where they teach kids about the Constitution and their rights as citizens of America and how it's all about putting God first and all these kind of things. He said at the beginning of their meeting, their school they have down there, Patriot Academy, they give everybody a golf ball. And they say, now throughout this meeting, nobody dropped the golf ball. And they talked about it being representative of your character. Do not, somebody say, don't drop the golf ball. And they said after a while, people would start, whoops. Oh, pick, and they would laugh, you know, oh, don't get your character back up. Keep your faith in God, right? And how that ties into this is the word stay in faith. It's like that same analogy of not dropping the golf ball. Because this thing called time begins to happen. Well, I asked for that a long time. God showed me that a long time. There's things God has showed me about this ministry and things he's called me to do years ago that have not manifested yet, but I know it was him. So we don't drop the ball on these things, right? We stay in faith on it, and we turn it to praise and thanksgiving. He says, thank God for it. It's working. Somebody say it's working. Never catch yourself saying, and this is where why a lot of Christians who were taught this began to mock it. A lot of them began in this, but guess what? I didn't see it within 24 hours. FedEx didn't drop it by my house the next day. So therefore, it isn't working. Ha, 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 name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. No, no, you dropped the golf ball. That's what happened, right? Amen. And we continue to pray in the Spirit over these things. Have scriptures with it, too. Have two or three scriptures with each thing that you're believing God for. Have it on a list. Amen. And then we praise him for it. Work in progress. Somebody say it's a work in progress. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. It's working. And then he says, feed your faith on the word of God and exercise it. This final quote from him, he says, your faith can grow. Start exercising it on the things you need. But don't start out claiming something ridiculous. Lord, I received 72 Cadillacs. I got a good Cadillac story for you. Years ago, we had a children's event. We used to call the Hallelujah Carnival on Halloween night. We'd have rides at the church and give away prizes and have an altar call for kids. And one year, we had A.C. Green come, the L.A. Laker, retired NBA Ironman. He's local from the Northwest, and somebody knew him. He's a believer. And so he came. And one of our pastors, a lot of you guys know Pastor Ed and Cheryl Redman. And Pastor Ed, he's a Cadillac guy and a Lincoln guy. But he likes Cadillacs. And he had pictures. And we were hanging out kind of in the back before the event. And AC is like, you know, if you've ever stood up by one of those guys that, I mean, like he could rest his arm on my head if you want. This is a big, big guy, tall guy. And Pastor Ed pulls out his pictures and he goes, hey, AC, look at this. It's a Cadillac. And AC goes, what? He goes, well, Vic Alfonso over here says that this used to be your Cadillac. And AC goes, oh, he goes, I've had so many Cadillacs. I would never remember a particular Cadillac. Who's ready for that kind of blessing, right? Hallelujah. So we don't get into naming ridiculous things, right? But we start with something that it maybe seems attainable, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Let the Holy Ghost lead you. Amen. But we trust him and he helps us. So start exercising it on the things you need, but don't start out claiming something ridiculous. You know, for some of us, it's just, in the name of Jesus, my bills are paid this month. And then you can start saying, in the name of Jesus, my bills are paid for the next 3 months in the bank. And then in the name of Jesus, I have the next year's bills paid. You know, a cool thing about this ministry is we have always, now Shelly could correct me on this if you want. She's really, and Rose probably could too. I'm so thankful for you guys that do actually balancing the books. But this church has almost always been at least a year ahead financially, like it's already in the bank. So we don't come in stressing about paying the bills to be in this building. It's remarkable. That's an anointing for prosperity. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to his name forevermore. And we praise him for it. He says, remember this, it is not God who is withholding your needs and wants. Christians need to get that straight. Amen? He wants you to have the things you want, the things that you need. Hallelujah. God wants us blessed. I want to close with a couple of verses specifically in regards to our church that I'm believing God for. Hallelujah. Haggai 2:9. Actually, verses 8 through, Pastor George read this morning, and then I saw it in the notes here as well, but it says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts," that's angels, right? "Once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all the nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." I say that over this church. We claim it over this church based on the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Here's another one that I speak over this church in Jesus' name. It's so great how the Holy Ghost sometimes, like, you know, we saw lightning flashing last night. Sometimes just a thought will shoot across our mind. It's like, I couldn't have thought that fast, right? So it's the Spirit of God at times like that, right? And he showed me this one day. Chapter 5, verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, of course, we understand that means when someone passes away, they go on to be with Jesus. But the Holy Ghost has a way of spotlighting something. Because see, there's the Logos, the written word of God, but there's also the Rhema, the flowing word of God. And he highlighted that phrase, "We have a building from God." Somebody say, "We have a building from God." That's something this church needs and wants. So we say it. We claim it. Hallelujah, right? Deuteronomy 1:25. We're standing for these things in Jesus' name. Thought I had that marked. If I don't know how to find Deuteronomy, then I better go back to pastor school. It's really Christian thing, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Guess I didn't mark this one. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 25. "They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us, and they brought back word to us, saying, 'It is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us.'" Somebody say, he's giving us land. Land is a promise. Hallelujah. I love Jesse Duplantis too, and even guys like Gary Cassie, and because they get into specifically what though. Hallelujah. And I believe a year ago, I know this. Sometimes God gives me things that are so specific, I don't even want to tell you. But I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you this right now. And let's just agree. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying this is what I heard. Sometimes when God speaks to me in a dream, I'll be like waking up, and I'll hear like a lightning flash, and I couldn't have thought of that quick. You know when he speaks almost audibly? Maybe you haven't had that experience, but I've had it in dreams a couple times before. And it was my birthday, it was my 51st birthday, which was last year, and I heard it in my sleep, like either I can't remember if I was waking up or whatever, but it woke me up, like it shook me awake. And he spoke to me, and it, you know, 51st birthday, so I'm going into, it didn't even dawn on me the rest of this for a few minutes afterwards, but so I'm beginning my 52nd year, right? And he spoke to me and he said, 52 acres, campus. So if anybody hears of 52 acres for sale, send me a text or an email. Now that is super specific. And sometimes you start thinking, that's kind of bizarre. And then you start questioning yourself, well, we're going to know now if I'm really hearing from God or not. But I know his voice. He also gave me the title of a book to write for kids. and I've wrestled with it, and it just isn't flowing. But these are things somebody say to add to the claim list. Add it to the claim list. Why? Because he told me. And you are a part of me in this room. 52 acres, camp. And the only other person I told my family and my mom. I don't know if I told you about that, Dad. I should have if I haven't. You know now. But I told my kids and my wife. But now you all know. And I remember telling mom, and I was like, because you start wondering, like, you know, sometimes your physical ears, you wonder, did I hear that right? And I started, did I really hear that correctly? 52 acres, campus. And mom was like, do you think he said campus? I was like, well, I don't know. I believe I heard him say campus, but campus does kind of sound like camus. 52 acres in campus ain't cheap. But how many know if it's 52 acres in China, if that's what he says to do, you go do it. But I believe he's got a plan for this region and this place. And you know why I don't have trouble believing that? Because of all the seed you've sown. You have sown this year, we're going to, and this is just in missions, over 200,000 we're crossing. Times that by 100-fold. That's 52 acres campus plus buildings plus. It's there, right? It's there. In the spirit, it already exists. So all we're doing is taking a message like, and I'm just using this as an example, you understand? And just saying, Lord, we claim it. We speak it. We declare it. Angels of God, go get it. But see, that kind of specific thing comes from his voice, right? How much land do you need? I've heard Jesse say that. You know, it's like, you need to know how much. How much money do you need? Well, that requires prayer and thought and imagination. It takes work. This is work. Hallelujah. Amen? Do you have time for one more? I know I'm keeping you over. I did not plan on telling you that today, but you know what? I'm just going to say what he tells me to say, right? And evidently, you were ready to hear that. 5:27. Ephesians 5:27. That he might present to her, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be, that she should be holy and without blemish. Somebody say, a glorious church. Now, angels, let's all stand up as we close today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we send forth God's ministering spirits in Jesus' name. We lay claim to these things that we have spoken. And Father, I claim over all these people here today and those who will hear my voice later, that you are helping us to be in touch with what it is we're believing you for. We put our claim on it. We send the angels out to go and get it and bring it in. And we praise you in advance. We praise you in advance for all of these things. We praise you in advance for all of these things, God. In these words, in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, if you can just let Brother Hagin know that we appreciate his work and that we're still using it. Give him a hug for us. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's go get it. Hallelujah. Amen. That's another thing Brother Green said, A.C. Green. He told Pastor Ed, then go get it. Go get the, and that's a word from God. Go get it. Angels, go get it. In Jesus' name. Amen.